I'll be talking to you today about untreated chlamydial infection among adolescents and young adults in Baltimore, Maryland.
Raise the microphone a bit.
I'm taller, I guess. Chlamydia is the most frequently reported bacterial sexually transmitted infection in the United States. In 2006, the last year for which data are available, 348 cases per 100,000 population were reported to the CDC, and that's up 5.6% from just the previous year. The reported rate among women is 3 times higher than among men. Among women, untreated chlamydia may result in pelvic inflammatory disease, which is a major cause of infertility, ectopic pregnancy, and chronic pelvic pain. Among men, chlamydia is associated with urethritis and epididymitis, and chlamydia infections facilitate HIV infection among men and women. Chlamydia surveillance. Laboratories and medical providers are required by law to report diagnosed cases of chlamydia. However, chlamydia infections are usually asymptomatic. 3/4 of women and about half of men have no symptoms. So reported cases reflect those infections that are detected and presumably treated. Surveillance data also reflects standard screening practices. Currently, the CDC recommends that all sexually active women under age 26 be screened annually for chlamydia. Sylvia already described the monitoring STI survey program to you, so I'll just go over some of the highlights. Provides for continuous monitoring of 3 STIs, chlamydia, trich, and gonorrhea, over a 3-year period. It started in September 2006. The program was designed to address the shortcomings of surveillance methods, such as incomplete coverage and skewed coverage in response to screening norms. Funding is provided by the National Institute of Child Health and Development, and it is a collaboration between Research Triangle Institute, the University of Massachusetts at Boston, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and Johns Hopkins School of Medicine in collaboration with the Baltimore City Health Department. Data collection was done through TIA-CASI telephone interviews and testing of mailed-in urine specimens. Study participants were ages 15 to 35, male and female, and English-speaking. In year one, 1,248 Baltimore residents aged 15 to 35 completed a TIA-CASI interview, and 69% of those provided a urine specimen. This presentation focuses on analysis of data from the first year, which began in September 2006. We calculate prevalence estimates of chlamydia in the population. We assess bivariate associations between demographic and behavioral characteristics and chlamydia prevalence using chi-square tests. And finally, we compare our study data to the surveillance data reported to the Baltimore City Health Department. And all the data are weighted. Overall, the MSSP detected a 4.6% population prevalence of chlamydia. The gender and race differences were not dramatic. Chlamydia rates were higher among males, but that difference was not statistically significant. Rates were also higher among blacks than among non-blacks, and that was significant at the 0.05 level. So the non-black population includes anyone who said his or her race was not African American or black. And that 1.6% represents 2 cases, and those are of people who reported their race as other. There were highly significant differences by age groups, with 18 to 23-year-olds having the highest rate of chlamydia at nearly 12%. We found significant differences in chlamydia prevalence among subpopulations defined by marital status and educational levels. Among people who were not married, the prevalence was 5.1%, and the second set of bars should be switched. Prevalence was higher at 6.5% among persons who had not graduated from high school, or for the adolescents who were younger, if the grade they were in was too low, lower than you would expect for the age. We looked at differences in chlamydia prevalence by a number of behavioral variables. The first four sets of bars reflect aspects of sexual behavior. And as you might expect, the number of sexual partners, whether over a lifetime or in the past year, is strongly associated with chlamydia prevalence. In the first set of bars, you can see that among people who have had over 20 sexual partners in their lifetime, the prevalence of chlamydia is nearly 12%. The second and third set of bars depict the association between chlamydia prevalence and the number of partners in the past year. So you can see people who've had five or more partners have a much higher or much more likely to have chlamydia. But if you look at the third set, even having just more than one partner in the past year is also significantly associated with a higher prevalence of chlamydia. The fourth set of bars, there's an S missing. Among those who said that their partner had had another sexual partner in the past year, or who didn't know if the partner had had another sexual partner, the prevalence of chlamydia was 9.4%, compared to 3.2% among those who reported that their partner had not had other partners in the previous year. The last set of bars is slightly different. Among respondents who said that they or their partner had been incarcerated in the past year, even if just overnight, chlamydia prevalence was 15.2%, compared to 3.1% of that population who had not been jailed or had a partner jailed in the previous year. Prevalence of chlamydia was associated with the person's STI history. Having a previous STI diagnosis or a chlamydia diagnosis or a chlamydia diagnosis in the past year, both were highly associated with having a current undetected chlamydia infection. And even reporting that your partner had been diagnosed with chlamydia in the past year was also associated with a higher prevalence of chlamydia. We obtained estimates of the prevalence of detected and presumably treated chlamydial infections from clinically diagnosed cases reported to the Baltimore City Health Department by providers and laboratories. The percentages for Baltimore City Health Department's reported population prevalence are calculated using U.S. Census reports of population size for that age group as a denominator. So for the sake of comparison, we present our study data grouped in the same manner. So we match our age groupings to theirs, and we also include only study participants age 15 to 34 to match their age groupings. When you compare our study data to the surveillance data, you can see that we detected a slightly higher prevalence of chlamydia than did the surveillance data, 4.6% versus 3.6% of the overall population, 15 to 34. As you would expect, given that young women are the primary targets of chlamydia screening strategies in the United States, our study detected a higher proportion of infections among males and correspondingly a lower proportion of infection among females than did the surveillance data. We also identified a higher proportion of infections among Black Baltimore residents than did the surveillance data. And in this case, for these groupings, the racial comparisons are people who reported their race as Black or white. So anyone who reported a racial category other than that is not included in this analysis right here. The Monitoring STI survey program tended to detect a higher proportion of infections among people under age 24, while the surveillance data were identifying more infections among older groups. As you can see, the gap is most notable among 20 to 24-year-olds, with 7.2% of that age group having an infection in the MSSP, compared to 4.6% in the surveillance data. In conclusion, nearly 5% of 15 to 35-year-olds in Baltimore had an undetected chlamydial infection in the Monitoring STI survey program. This would probably be expected given the current practice guidelines and funding emphasize screening among women. The chlamydia prevalence in our study was slightly higher among males and among blacks, but we should note that we had relatively small sample sizes in some racial groups, and that does limit the generalizability of these findings. Infections were most prevalent among 18 to 23-year-olds and among those with less than a high school education. Having multiple sexual partners, even as few as two in the past year, was strongly associated with chlamydia infection. And previous infection was also a strong predictor of having a current undetected infection. I should stress that this paper reports on data just from the first year of our study, so small sample size is an issue, and subsequent years of study data will allow us to better detect differences among demographic subgroups and among different groups based on risk factors. Comparing our study data to surveillance data suggests that undiagnosed, untreated chlamydia infections among 15 to 34-year-olds exceed diagnosed infections by a factor of 1.3. The chlamydia prevalence in the MSSP was higher among males than females, while the opposite pattern emerged in the surveillance data. And I think this suggests the need for increased chlamydia screening among males. Thank you.
Dan, we do have time for a couple questions.
Yes.
So traditionally you will see a higher rate of chlamydia infection in females than males. Did you have some explanation? I know the sample size is small.
We do. The reason you see higher infection rates among females is that's who's being screened. Males simply aren't being screened. So if you screen a group, you're going to see more infections. And that's what the CDC recommends, screening of young women. And that's those are the policy guidelines, and funding also involves targeting those people.
Your slide says you're higher than
males.
So
that's because we screened the overall population. We did not focus on females or on males. So our results reflect the population prevalence, not just screening guidelines. So if a young man goes to the doctor, he's unlikely to be screened for chlamydia. Whereas women in a certain age group, if they're sexually active, they're always screened. Yes?
Your observation that it's much higher among partners who have reported that their partner had been incarcerated, is that social genotypic control for race?
Well, this is just bivariate analysis. So, when we do a multivariable analysis, we'll be able to see that. So I couldn't say at that point. But also, the incarceration may reflect a constellation of other risk factors. It may not simply, I didn't mean to imply that the incarceration is causal. It probably reflects people who engage in other risky behaviors. But certainly multivariable analysis is necessary to answer that question.
Question in the way back.
Yeah, and certainly it's well known that women are screened more often for chlamydia than men, but have you tried to make any estimates of how over-exaggerated your relationship with men is, because you are screening, in this case, in the urine instead of doing vaginal swabs of women, and of course, you're in men, the urethra is infected, so you're going to get this.
Right.
Well,
I should point out first that the male-female difference was not statistically significant. So, we need to look at data from subsequent years to see if that trend's going to hold. It was not a significant difference. And yes, we were not doing urethral or vaginal swabs. But there's a high specificity and in the test that we use, so I don't think that's the problem. And it could be that it's just simply not a significant difference. But even that is interesting because surveillance data show a much higher prevalence among women.
You referenced sample size was small. What was it?
Can you repeat the question?
The question was about the sample size. Overall, we had 863 usable urines. So that sample size is fine, but when we break that down into different racial categories, we have really small groups. For instance, we didn't have any infections reported among whites. We had infections among blacks, and people reported their race as non-black. But when we have a larger sample size, we're going to have more people in those smaller racial categories.
I had two questions. What part of Baltimore did you
The question was about what parts of Baltimore were included. It's a random sample of all Baltimore City residents, so just people who are in the city limits. A random sample of people who have landline phones, which some people don't.
And then what proportion of individuals that reported having a partner in jail last year were also part of another category, or were they So if they had a partner that was incarcerated in the fifth year, did they also have a partner that was faithful? They have been in
jail? Oh, they could have been. The analysis that I presented today was just bivariable analysis. When we do multivariate analysis, we'll be controlling for all those factors, but of course they were members of all those over the groups, and that's quite likely that someone who'd been incarcerated in the previous year may have also been engaged in some other risky behavior. Yeah.
So it could be narrowed down.
I think rather than narrowing down, we can pinpoint multiple factors that are associated with having a higher prevalence of chlamydia. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, our next presentation is